in time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Do 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 do.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And as always, let me first mention that we have a wonderful sponsor, Hydramay Skin Nutrition. You can look at their products at www.hydramay.com. That's HYDRAME.com. All organic, natural nutrition for your skin. Very interesting stuff. And I think if you guys have not ever really heard about the inner child work and dowsing and how to reach your subconscious, you're really in for a treat tonight. My special guest is my good friend, András Nevai, who is Hungarian. So one of our listeners should be pretty interested in that. And he has been around the metaphysical world for a long time, and just knows all kinds of different interesting people and does some really interesting things. He's the owner of the Pendulum Works, which is the largest pendulum store in the world, and also has crystals that are not to be found anyplace else in the U.S. So needless to say, he has a fun place to hang out, and so I really enjoy that. So welcome to the show, András.
Thank you very much, Valerie. I'm pleased to be here with you.
Yeah, and literally, too, because we're in the same house here. we're trying not to have too much feedback, but, you know, I was over visiting, and so we're just in different rooms here doing the show. And I got to tell you, people, it's really hard sitting in a house full of these giant, humongous, wonderful crystals and not busting out a sweat. So if you hear me, like, panting and wheezing during the show, it's because of all this crystal energy. So, András, if you would you please give some background on yourself and kind of let the listeners know, you know, what angles you're coming from?
Well, I've been in love with stones most of my life. And my brother and I had a, Paul John Peter and I had a crystal and mineral collection when we were about, he was 13, I was 14. And then again around 1980, I started buying and selling crystals, and I was living in New York City at the time. And my loft, my apartment, which was just a large room with a separate kitchen and bathroom, became one of the early crystal shops in New York City. And now I've been out in Arizona for about 22, 23 years. So at that time in New York, we also started creating and making pendulums for people, just mostly custom-made pendulums. And then in the time I've been in Sedona, we've actually turned it into a wholesale international company with the largest selection of pendulums. And so that's how I got into that. And, of course, it all started not with a pendulum, but the what started it was I was teaching a course called DMA, which is a tongue twister. It's Dimensional Macro Structural Alignment. Basically, it's a 5-week course that different teachers who had taken the teacher training taught. And this course, one of the main things about it was to teach you how to manifest, how to create what you want in your life. And one of the things we taught was how to use a pendulum. And why that is important, and that's really a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight, what I'd like to talk about, is because many, many people, most people probably are not even aware that they have a subconscious mind and that they can talk to the subconscious, and even that it's important to talk to the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that is one of the things that I find as I go around the country. People have no clue how to talk to their subconscious. They don't realize they're doing it, you know, throughout the day, and that's what's creating a lot of the problems. And so I thought it would be nice if you could kind of, you know, elaborate more on that and how to do that, and also talk about the inner child, because I know there's still a lot of people out there that have only heard about that as a joke, and they don't really understand what that's involved in as far as your day-to-day living and your health and things like that, and they tend to ignore it.
Yeah, it's something I don't recommend that people ignore, because it is so much a part of everyday life. It's not something you can just get away from or say, well, that's too difficult for me, or that's too weird, or whatever. The subconscious or inner child, there are several names for it. One of the names is the basic self. Another name is the essential self. Another name is subconscious, inner child, and another name is the body. These are all pretty much the same thing. A system that I use when I teach, and that system that I refer to is the ancient Hawaiian system, very, very old system. It may be 150,000 or more years old. And this is a system is not only in Hawaii, but all of the islands in the Pacific. And actually, going back that far, it was actually a continent called Lemuria, which is also known as the Motherland. So what we see now as Fiji and the Hawaiian Islands and all the other islands in the Pacific are actually just the mountaintops of this huge continent that sank about, I believe it was about 35,000 years ago. So anyway, Lemuria, there's a lot of wonderful knowledge that comes out of Lemuria, and it's everywhere all around us, but we just don't recognize it because we haven't been taught that history. So this system, this Hawaiian system, is the one that I like to use, and the system divides the human being in arbitrarily into three parts. So the one part is what we call your middle self, or your waking consciousness. When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and say, "Good morning, Valerie," that's your waking consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The superconscious, or your high self, is your spirit, your soul, and that part of you is the part that you would like to pay more attention to, because it's constantly giving you suggestions about how to run your life better, you know, where to go, what job to take, where to live, which roommates to take or not, and so on. But the only way to get to the higher self is through the subconscious, or the inner child. And the inner child, because it's the body, really runs everything in three-dimensional reality. And that's why it's important for us to be aware of and to make friends with our own inner child, our own subconscious.
Hmm. I know that, you know, I've accessed my inner child many times and, you know, did all that work when all the major stuff about that came out years ago. And I think that some people have forgotten how important that is, or never knew. But I can tell you that when I do soul retrievals, I'm talking to the inner child. And the inner child is the one that that really has to be happy with what's going on. And if you don't make an agreement with that child, or that piece of your soul that flew off, then it'll fly off again. Because
yes.
It doesn't want to
yes.
be in a place of hurt.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. Let me give an example of some inner child stuff. And by the way, the phrase inner child, I believe, is not that old. I believe it was started by, in various psychological circles, sometime in the 60s or 70s. So it's about 30, 40 years old in popular conversation, or in popular books and magazines, articles, and so on. So mm-hmm. It's not that old of a concept. But the thing to get here is that these different words all mean pretty much the same thing: inner child, subconscious, basic self, essential self, and so on. So let mm-hmm. me give an example of where it didn't work for my subconscious and I, or my inner child and I, didn't work well together. Many years ago, I had a motorcycle. I loved motorcycles. I had a couple of different ones over the years, and then one of my motorcycles was stolen, and I never got another one. And now we're into the 70s or 80s, and a number of times I had promised myself, and really it was my body, my inner child, who was interested in having a motorcycle, because he was the one who has fun, who goes out and has fun. The middle self, the waking consciousness, is the adult. It's pretty serious. It's a fairly serious part of you. It's your ego, it's your personality, and those things that are fairly, nose to the grindstone and taking care of business and all of that. Mm-hmm. So the inner child is the part that's the body, and it really runs your three-dimensional reality, because without the body and without the inner child, you can't really do anything here. You are inhabiting this body. It's like a coat of flesh that you're taking on, and you're inhabiting this body. So anyway, I kept promising my inner child, my body, that I would buy a motorcycle and have, you know, just go for rides, because he, little Andy, is what I call him. Little Andy is the one that likes to go for rides and drive really fast and have the wind, you know, going through your hair and pick up gorgeous women and stuff like that, you know, and take them for rides. So this was not happening because I was too busy, and then for a while I didn't have enough money, and there was always some excuse for not buying that motorcycle. And what I wasn't aware of, and here's the point that everybody needs to get, what I was not aware of is that my relationship to my inner child got worse and worse and worse, and things in my life started to go bad. Things weren't working well. See, if you want things to work well, you need to talk to that inner child and keep a good relationship with him or her. Now, your inner child is what you were when you were about 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, approximately 4 to 7. That's an approximation. For some people, it may be a little bit earlier, a little later, but that's about how old your inner child is. Now, imagine that you have a child living in your house with you, and you know the child is there, but you don't. It doesn't really have a bedroom, and you don't really feed the child, but you know it's there because food is missing from the refrigerator, and just there's evidence that there's a child around, but you don't really pay much attention. Now, that child is going to feel very rejected and lonely and upset and angry and so on. So this is what our inner child, our body feels, our subconscious feels, rejected, because we don't even know it's there. And we need to discuss things with it. I'll give another example. Let's say that you are going on a trip tomorrow because there's a business opportunity in a city that's 3 hours away. Well, the waking consciousness knows that you have to get in the car and drive to the city, and it's kind of hard work, you know, doing all that driving. But if you want to be friends with your subconscious, you will talk to him or her, and you will say, little Valerie or little Andy, tomorrow morning we're going to get up very early, earlier than usual, and we're going to go on this trip. And then you're going to imagine in your mind what that trip looks like, because the subconscious, the language of the subconscious is images. Mm-hmm. You need to talk in images. So those are a couple of examples. And when I finally bought a motorcycle, that was some years ago, things changed. My little guy was very happy, and it just showed me that I have to stay in daily contact and talk to him just as if he were a child living in my home. Because we're sharing this body.
That's really interesting. One of the things that I've noticed in the soul retrievals I've done is when I bring the soul piece back, when it is a child, and most of them are, what happens is they want an agreement that they're going to get their favorite ice cream at least once a week. or that they're going to get to sit down and watch their favorite TV show, which may be something really stupid, you know, but it's, you know, whatever. Or that they're going to get to play with the dogs or, you know, something like that. And I notice with myself, when my little inner child gets a little upset, it throws a fit. And, oh, my God, you know, I mean, I hear about it to the point where I will get ill if I don't attend to that. And it's just simply things like, you know, cutting back and just taking a little bit easy and, you know, not stressing yourself so much and not dealing with the adult things, but rather something that's really fun. And I'm reminded of those Dave and Buster commercials that we have out here, you know, where the guy goes to the door for a date and there's a little hymn right next to him and they're saying, you know, bring your fun, you know, and then the little girl of the girl that he's dating says, hey, I got to go change, you know, and goes and gets something on that's really fun, and they go and they play games. And so that's an interesting kind of a commercial, because it's really showing that, yeah, we do have these other parts of ourselves, and they do have to have fun.
Those are all perfect examples, Valerie. Every one of those is a very good example of the inner child. And, you know, what you said about in the beginning about ice cream or going to the movies or having fun, well, that's a perfect example. If anybody listening out there has a job where they're really, really working hard all day, and most of us do, whether you work for yourself or you work for someone else, you've got a job and you know, you're really working away, and sometimes you're working extra. You have to work late or you have to work overtime. When those things happen, especially, you need to check in and just look inside and talk to little Valerie or little Andy or whatever your name is, and ask him or her, what do you want now? Because I'm finished my 10 hours of or 11 hours of hard work, nonstop work, and you'll get a message. You'll suddenly get a feeling that you've got to have some vanilla ice cream, or you've got to see that movie, that action film you've wanted to see for a week. You'll get that sense, you'll get that feeling, and that's not your middle self talking, that's your inner child, that's your subconscious, your basic self, your essential self talking to you.
Speaking of essential self, didn't you write a book on that?
Yeah, I just finished a book on the essential self, and it's still in revision, so it's not going to come out for a little while, but it's about these things that we're talking about, exactly these things, and exactly the point of what, you know, why you invited me tonight, because I really feel there's a huge lack in our education, because these things, you know, in Lemuria, in the motherland, in that huge continent that was in the Pacific Ocean, which sank 35,000 years ago, people were taught from childhood about these parts of themselves. And it's essential to life. It's essential to everyday life. And yet we don't know in our culture, in our Western culture, we don't know about it.
Yeah, that's a real problem. And, you know, as a physician, I can tell you that, you know, I've had plenty of people that have been to lots of other physicians and they never got well. But the reason is because none of these issues have been addressed. And so I'll look at them and I'll say, well, you know, your inner child's really not happy. And what do you do for fun? And they look at me blankly and blink a couple times and go, I don't have time for fun. And I go, okay, I'm starting to see the problem here. You know, you got to take a little bit of time out, you know, and go have some fun and be gentle with yourself. And especially now, especially with metaphysical people, you know, we're all working so hard and the energy that hits us, boy, when it hits, it's really something. And so, you know, we work so hard because we're so passionate about our life missions and things. And we forget that, you know, there's an innocence and there's a love and a nurturing that happens in the state of the child that doesn't happen as an adult. And we all need the nurturing. We all need to have some fun. And like I was telling you that was 4th of July, when I just, you know, canceled a couple of things that I had wanted to go to, because the inner me said, you know what, I need some nurturing. I don't want to go to a party. I don't want to have to network with anybody and be fascinating. what I wanted to do was sit home and pet my cats. And it was just such a strong drive that I had to do it, because I knew if I didn't, there was a sadness within me that was going to get worse. And it was just lovely just to sit there and just pet the cats, you know. That was great. And so my inner child was happy. So it can be something that simple. It could be something as simple as, you know, taking your dog out to the park and, you know, throwing a frisbee or whatever. You know, just something that you used to do as a child that you really regret not doing so much as an adult.
That's a very good point. That's a really good point. And you know, that's exactly why I didn't give you a hard time about going to that party, because, you know, I really was hoping you'd be there because there were some great people there. But I got I got immediately from the way you were talking about that you just needed to stay home and hang with your cats and love them and have them love you and just, you know, you'd been away for a few days and they were missing you. And so that was... That's why I didn't say anything about, you know, I didn't insist that please come, because I knew that you were doing the right thing. You were taking care of little Valerie.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt that strong need within that it was like, yeah, I just need to be loved, just pure and simple. I'd been gone for 3 weeks. I had been through hell and back, basically, and, you know, had so much upheaval in my life. I was like, I just needed to just sit there and just be and just love and be loved in return. And, you know, I don't know if you recall my cats or if you've ever actually seen them, but they are just little love bunnies, you know. And they just cuddle with you, and they're sentient, so you can talk to them. And you know, they're just interesting little beings. And, you know, sometimes, people, we just need to just kick back and, you know, just allow ourselves that luxury of just to be. And, you know, we really are love deep inside. That's all we are. And we can't ever be anything else. And so if you're not nurturing yourself in some way, whether you have pets or not, you know, you're going to suffer.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. There we are.
I was just going to say, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you were going to say? Oh, that's good. Yeah, what I wanted to ask you to do is to help people to understand. I know that you use dowsing a lot to kind of get your ideas of, you know, what the inner child is saying and, you know, what's the next step. So if you could elaborate on that, maybe, you know, do a little mini dowsing lesson for people so they can start to try this out and get a better handle on who they really are.
Okay. All right. Well, let me preface that by saying that in those of you who are listening, in general, you know that old saying, know thyself, and that is sort of the basis of esoteric learning, and spiritual teaching starts with that, know thyself. But know thyself is a little wider and broader than a lot of us realize. This, what we're discussing tonight, is part of that, learning what part of you is the middle self, and when it's doing certain things, it's the middle self, and then when other things happen or other things are done, that's the inner child or the subconscious or the body. At other times, when you get certain impulses or messages, that may be your higher self leading you in a certain direction. And it behooves us, it is good for every person to know the difference. It'll make a huge change in your life to know which part of you you are accessing or is talking to you or that you need to talk to. It does make a difference. And this idea about knowing yourself is much wider. It even goes out further. For example, many, many years ago, I realized with the help of I've gone to a lot of training. I've gone through a lot of spiritual training, meditations, psychological, modern psychology, psychotherapy. I've tried everything. I've tried a lot of things over my lifetime. And for example, One other example, other than these three parts of oneself, is that I became aware, and this was many years ago, that when I acted a certain way with people, with my own sons, with my wife, when I acted a certain way, it was actually my father talking. So my father was inside of my head, and all of us have an inner father and an inner mother because they're very important people in our lives. If they died young or they left us when we were very young, then they are important because they weren't there. If they were in our lives, they're important because they were there. So this is just one other example. There are many other parts of us besides the inner child, the inner father, the inner mother. There's the inner female, the inner male, and there are many, many other parts. So this gets into Gestalt psychology, and Gestalt is a whole other area that we're not going to get into. But the point is that it's worthwhile looking into this, studying this, reading articles, reading books, and learning about these different parts of oneself. So the next thing then, you asked me to talk about the pendulum. There are many ways to talk to your body and your subconscious. There's something called, you can douse with your own hands, for example. You don't need a pendulum. Now, what is a pendulum? A pendulum is anything, a weight that hangs at the end of a string or a chain. And that weight could be a washer, a metal washer. It could be a ring from your finger. You can hang a ring from the silver necklace around your neck. You can take a thread and hang almost any weight from it so that the weight can move back and forth and around and around. Now, that's only one kind of dowsing instrument. The word dowsing is interchangeable with, there's another expression for example, for somebody who goes out into a field and looks for water, and they use a forked stick, like a Y-shaped stick. And you hold the two ends of the Y, and then the point, the base of the Y, is pointing out in front of you. And as you walk across a field, it will suddenly point down very powerfully where there's water underground. So that is another form of indicator. And a pendulum is another indicator. There's something called a bobber. There are L rods, which look like the letter L, where you hold the short part of the L in your hands, in your two hands, and then the long part sticks straight out and moves around, and you can use that also to get answers to questions and to find things like minerals and water underground. Now, dowsing is not a new thing. Dowsing, the oldest pendulum they have ever found, was found in Alaska. And it was dated at about 30,000 years old.
Wow.
So for those people who think the world started 5 or 6,000 years ago, my apologies, but the first dowsing instrument that they found is 30,000 years old. And since the Lemurian continent was, that culture was 150,000 years old when it sank, I'm sure they had dowsing instruments. So I think 30,000 is just a fairly recent example of a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do we use a pendulum? We use a pendulum because, for me, it is one of the fastest and easiest ways to talk to my body and my inner child, my basic self.
Mm-hmm.
I call the pendulum a portable, inexpensive, portable biofeedback tool. See, the pendulum doesn't do anything by itself. It's you who are moving the pendulum.
Right.
And it moves in a certain direction when you ask certain questions. And it can answer yes or no, maybe, no good, and very good. Those are the five basic words in my basic language. So I've been talking quite a while, and did you want to say something or ask something?
No, you're doing great. Continue, please.
Okay. So we have these five basic words. Now, if everybody would pick up something that's nearby, which is hanging from a string, or it could be a pendant that you're wearing around your neck, or you could take a ring and just put a string through it. If you don't have anything else, you could get some floss, some dental floss, and make the string about, you know, maybe 5 or 6 inches long. And then you hold one end and let the weight hang on the other end, and you've got a pendulum. Some of you may actually own a pendulum. And hopefully, it's a pendulum from the Pendulum Works. We sell mostly wholesale to stores all over the country and in about 22, 25 foreign countries. And our website is just being renovated, and it's almost done. So those who are interested will be able to see it at pendulumworks.com as one word, PendulumWorks.com, pendulumworks.com. So now that you've got this weight hanging from a string or a chain, the first thing that you do is you hold it in your dominant hand. And dominant hand means the hand that you write with. So if you're right-handed, then you would hold it in your right hand. I like to suggest that in the first couple of 2 or 3 or 4 weeks of using a pendulum, you put the other hand, the non-dominant hand, in my case it would be my left hand, underneath the pendulum so that the pendulum is hanging and it is about an inch or two directly above the palm of the other hand. So my right hand is up in the air holding the pendulum, and the pendulum is hanging down, and the point or the bottom of the pendulum or the ring or whatever you're using is an inch or two above the other palm. And the reason we do that is so that there's polarity, because it works better with polarity. Polarity means like North Pole and South Pole, like positive and negative, day and night. That's polarity.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a positive and negative because, you know, one hand is negative, the other hand is positive. The next thing that you do, you're holding the pendulum and you're very relaxed and calm. Remember that everything you do with the inner child is playful. You can't do it as a grown-up. You can't. Most people who hear this will try to do it correctly. They will try to do it, quote-unquote, right, like they're being tested. Being tested is an adult thing. That's something grown-ups do. A 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kid, a little child, little girl, little boy, does not know about tests, doesn't care, and he just plays, or she just plays. When a little girl, 5-year-old girl, plays with her dolls, she doesn't care how she plays with her dolls or how long or whether she plays with this doll or that one or any of those things. If a little boy is playing with a truck in the sandbox and he's moving the truck along the sandbox, then he picks up his little car, nobody cares what he does. He's just relaxed. He's playing. So that's the playing attitude you have to get into, and not treat this as something you want to do correctly, because there is no right way to do it. The right way is your way. Your way is the right way.
Now, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I just want to pause here for a minute and just repeat that. You know, this is not a left brain activity. This is a right brain activity which connects with your gifts that that takes you beyond the physical body.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so don't get hung up on, oh, did I do it right? Oh, what if it's not moving, all this stuff. But, you know, just relax, because this has nothing to do with the left brain. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you want to do is check your shoulders. If they're tight, like you are when you're trying to meet a deadline, you know, you're trying to finish a report for your boss or something, or you're working on a car engine and you got to have it done by 5 o'clock, you're probably, you know, really tight in your neck and your shoulders. So take a look right now. If you're tight, you're being an adult. You're not being a kid. Because a little kid that's pushing his car around in the sandbox, believe me, you touch his shoulders, it's not going to be tight. He's not going to be tight. He's going to be very loose and relaxed. And the same thing with a little girl playing, you know, tea time with her dolls. She's going to be just having fun and laughing and having a good time. So now that you've got your pendulum and it's hanging, and your other hand is underneath it, you talk directly to your body or your subconscious, and you say, body or subconscious, Or if you had a nickname when you were a little kid, like some kids called me Andy. My real name is Andrash. I was born with Andrash. I'm Hungarian. I was born in Hungary, and that's my real name. It means Andrew. But anyway, Andy is my nickname. So if you had a nickname as a kid, that's a good thing to call your subconscious or your inner child. So I would say, Andy, please show me your yes direction. Please move in a yes direction. And then the pendulum should start to move in any direction. Could be straight ahead, side to side, in a circle, diagonally at an angle, or anything at all is okay. But it's got to move somehow. It can't just stay still. Staying still is not an answer. So you say, subconscious or little Andy, please show me your yes. Show me your positive direction. Show me a positive answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the pendulum starts to move, you say to your body, to your subconscious, you say, please move more so I can see it more clearly. Please move, say yes louder so I can see it more clearly. Please say yes louder so I can see it more clearly. And the pendulum should start to move faster and faster in that same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done this, you also do the same thing with no. And you also ask a third word in our basic language with our essential self, our inner child. And that third word is maybe / I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Now for me, straight ahead is yes, right to left is no. And when it goes at a 45 degree angle from right up to the left, then that means maybe or I don't know the answer, which is good information for me because I know I need to look elsewhere for the answer. Mm-hmm. So if you can get these three things, we will explain no good and very good on another occasion because that's a little more advanced. But if you can get these three answers, they need to be different from each other and they need to be moving. You can't have the pendulum just stay still. This is the best way for you to start talking to your body and to your subconscious. And I would strongly recommend to everyone to read books about dowsing, D-O-W-S-I-N-G. That's what the use of a pendulum or any of these other indicators is called. It's called dowsing, D-O-W-S-I-N-G. And there are 100 or 200 books currently in print, very, very good books, on dowsing. And there are also articles. You can also find it on the internet. You can also find it in Wikipedia. You can also join the American Society of Dowsers, which is in Vermont, but has chapters in every state of the Union. And they have gatherings. They have local gatherings monthly, and they have regional gatherings, like our Southwest gathering here in Arizona is in Flagstaff in October of every year. So those are what places you can learn a lot because there are classes and they teach you from the basics to the advanced how to use a pendulum.
That's that's something that I wanted to elaborate on a little bit myself too. I have done the water witching, as they call it, you know, with the forked branch. I did that as a little kid. We found water all the time. And, you know, you can direct it to find gold and, you know, whatever, coins, you know, whatever it is that you're looking for. And I've used all of the things that you've mentioned. One of the things that that I found really fascinating about using these things is that it really pulls you closer to nature. And it really helps you
starting with your own nature.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is something that helps you to know yourself on so many different levels and to kind of restore that connection with nature that we really need in order to be healthy. And, you know, I mean, some people kind of go a little bit too overboard with it. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the people that throw their bodies back and forth. They use the body as a pendulum. And I got to warn you people, if you're going to do that, everybody's going to look at you like you're a little strange and they're going to call the men in the white coats. And I've known a couple people that did that. Now, I'm mentioning this because some people get to depend on it a little too much. And I've known a couple people who had to, quote, unquote, ask their angels if they should eat whatever. They looked at a menu. Oh, well, should I eat coffee? Drink coffee? Oh, can I have a soda? Oh, should I have some spinach? Oh, no, can I have some macaroni and cheese? I mean, I'm sitting there watching this as these people are throwing themselves backwards and forwards and in circles and stuff. And I'm going, okay, I think that's a little overboard. You know? I think it's safer to do it with a pendulum, don't you?
Well, yes and no. Some people feel it's strange to take out a pendulum in public and use it. What you're saying is right, that we don't want to be, you know, moving back and forth. But what I teach is that ultimately the purpose of the pendulum is to get rid of the pendulum. Because ultimately you'll come to a point where you will feel the answers inside. And that's what you're talking about. Now, to really feel the answer inside, I don't really have to move my body because I can feel inside of my body, right in the middle of my chest or in my stomach, I can feel it. Let's say if I were to say, I'm looking at these two cars in the showroom, the green car and the red car, which car would be in my best interest to buy? And inside my stomach or in my chest, I'll feel a pull or a little ping or something towards the right, and it's pointing towards the green car. So that's the one that would be better for me to buy, and I don't need my pendulum because I have this inner pendulum, and that's what I'm going for. That's why we learn how to use this outer indicator so that we can learn to recognize the inner indicator, which is always there. It always was there. But we don't pay attention to it.
That area you're talking about when you're talking about your gut, that's where your psychic powers actually are, not in your head.
That's right.
Your psychic powers
are in your inner child. That's why. One thing I want to stop right here because there's a very important thing to say here. It's very common for people to say, "Should I do this or should I do that?" Your languaging is very, very, very important. I can't underline that enough. Always use the terminology. The terminology is it in my best interest or is it in my highest interest to move to Colorado or to allow this roommate to join my apartment? Or is it in my highest interest to marry this woman? Or is it in my best interest to invest in these stocks or whatever else that you are doing? If we say the word should, then my question is, should according to whom? Mm-hmm. See, the word should is a conditional word. It depends on the time and the place and the conditions, and there are too many variables. But when you say, is it in my highest and best interest, that usually means one thing. My highest and best interest. That means that's very specific. And the subconscious, I have a book here written by a friend of mine many, many years ago, and the name of the book is Your Body Believes Every Word You Say. That's what I'm talking about right now. Your body believes every word you say. So if you say, let's say you're often late to appointments, and you say, oh, damn it, I'm late again. I'm always late. What does the body say, the subconscious? It always says yes, always. So when you say, I'm always late, it says yes, and then you keep on being late. Or if you say, I always get 3 or 4 colds every year, or I get the flu at least twice a year, what does the body say? The body says,
yes,
okay, I'll do whatever you tell me to. Because the middle consciousness, the waking consciousness, is the one that gives the marching orders to the body and the subconscious. So the body will respect your wishes, and it will give you 4 colds and 2 flus every year. And it'll make you late every time. But if you say, cancel clear, I cancel what I just said, and you say, I see myself being on time, or the latest technology is asking a question, saying, why am I always on time? Why does God love me so much?
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I'm asking myself a lot of why questions, you know, since I found out about that stuff.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, well, I did another show on that with Dr. Noah St. John. But one of the things that I find really interesting about the pendulums, Andras, is that, first of all, you not only have an amazing selection, but you have things that are specific for specific things that you want to do, like the healers, pendulums, and you know, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought on what you were talking about, but if you would just make sure that you get that in, you know, before we end the show here, you know, why you would use different stones and things for different purposes, I think that would be kind of neat.
Well, what you're talking about, Valerie, first of all, we have approximately 1,100 different pendulums ranging at a retail cost from anywhere from about $2 up to about $800. And the $800 pendulums are pretty fancy. So we have a lot of pendulums, and every one is different from every other one. And one of the differences, there are many different things happening in this huge selection, but one of the things is that we have different sensitivities. And the reason is because we have pendulums out of plastic, wood, metal, glass, and the majority of them are some kind of stone, like jasper, carnelian, turquoise, on and on and on, all the different stones. And, of course, quartz. We have a lot of quartz, smoky quartz, amethyst, and clear quartz pendulums. Now, what you were talking about, we have one category, which is called the healer's pendulums. And we have right now about 19 lifestyle categories. We cut it down a little bit. There were about 26, and it made people crazy. It was a little too much of a choice. But we have different lifestyle categories. For example, we have Egyptian pendulums that have a handle that has an Egyptian theme, like a scarab or an Isis out of silver or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we have hearts, we have, and one of the categories is the healer's pendulums. Now, the healer's pendulums are unique in that they are all made of quartz, and quartz at both ends, the handle and the bob, which is the bottom part, the part that hangs down, are both made of quartz because quartz is most sensitive to the bioenergetic system, whether it's human or animal or plant or mineral. So I sell minerals, I sell crystals, and I douse them all the time with my pendulum. First of all, I douse whether a particular stone is good for Valerie. If we've done this. When mm-hmm. you come in, you want a particular stone, the first thing I do is I check, is this stone good for Valerie? The same stone from the same place, from the same mine, that's sitting right next to that stone may be perfect for you, and the one you picked up may not be good for you for some unknown reason. And with mm-hmm. the pendulum, we can find out what that reason is if we want to. Mm-hmm. I can also find out whether this is a private stone, semi-private, or a public stone, whether it's to be used for self-healing or healing others. I can find out whether the stone is 1 or 2 or 3 million years old, or 9,300,972 years old. I can find out precisely with the pendulum exactly how old that stone is. So these are some of the uses of the pendulum, and this is why we have different sensitivities, because when you're asking plain yes or no questions, or you're a beginner, you may want something that is not too sensitive. So you may want something out of plastic or metal or wood or glass. And mm-hmm. and also those tend to be a little less expensive. When you get into the stones, and especially the fancy stones, then it gets, you know, the price can go up to $10, $15, $25, $55, $100 and up. So it depends on how good, what the quality of the ingredients are, which mm-hmm. dictates the price of the pendulum.
Do you find that that there's any specific type of combination that tends to work best for psychic things, for answering questions, you know, of a general psychic nature?
Well, I would go with a very sensitive pendulum, the ones I just described. And there is an exception to the rule, which I showed you yesterday, if you remember. We have one pendulum that is a black, polished black tourmaline, which is about like a little pinky, but like a small pinky. and it's about an inch and a half long, and it's in a silver cap, and then there's a silver chain, and at the other end is a tip of another black tourmaline. Just the tip is cut off, and it's in a silver frame, and could be used as a pendant, something you could wear around your neck. So that pendulum, for some strange reason, that tourmaline, with a tourmaline at both ends and silver chain in between, is actually the most sensitive pendulum that we've ever found.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is I love that one, by the way. That's really beautiful. But, you know, I picked up several of them and played with them. That one did not even move for me. And I thought, isn't that funny? Because I love black tourmaline. But I use black tourmaline for healing. And I have I've got a beautiful crystal ball that's got black tourmaline needles in it and lots of rainbows. And so perhaps it's because of the use, you know, that I've made of the black tourmaline needles before, and I use them in my psychic instruments, you know, and things like that. So I thought, wow, you know, this is so beautiful, and I just left this, and it just hung there. It didn't even move a bit.
Yeah, because it was your middle consciousness that loved it, your adult part, that your brain is telling you that this is a good thing, I've used it well, it's been very useful in the past. That's your brain talking, you know, your left brain, and telling you all the good things you did with black tourmaline and you will continue to do. And it's your left brain that's telling you, logically, I should like this pendulum. Why isn't it working for me? Well, the answer is very simple. It didn't work for you because little Valerie just didn't like it for whatever reason. We don't know why, but she just didn't like it. It's like you pick up a party dress or something. We don't know why you like that particular dress, but that's the one you love.
Oh, I can tell you what little Valerie loves. Little Valerie loves the bling, you know. So I mean, I need, you're going to just have to, you know, figure out how to do one with diamonds and tanzanites and demantoid garnets, you know, and things like that. And I just, you know, I crack up thinking about that because, you know, there's the whole thing. I used to kid with people about being a magpie in a previous life. And so many of us women are that way. We just love the bling, you know. I mean, the diamond commercials are not, you know, saying this will shut her up for no reason. You know, it's like, hand us diamonds, we go, ooh.
Valerie, we just have a few minutes. Have we told people that they can call in or write in on the chat line?
Oh, they normally do if they have any questions. And, yes, you can call in if you would like to ask Andras anything particular about dowsing or, you know, pretty much anything metaphysical, because he has a wealth of information. Or, you know, write it in on the chat here, and I've showed Andras how to pull that up so he can see what you're asking. And then, we'll go ahead and answer those things. Because, boy, while you've got him here, if you've got questions about dowsing, you better ask him. Or crystals, you know, pretty much anything. But,
I have taught a lot of different things. Crystals, crystal healing, and one of the most interesting things I talk about that I love to do is axiatonal integration, which is a kind of energy work, and it's an initiation into higher levels of your own functioning and your own evolution. And you can read about the fifth dimensional circulatory system that we all have in The Keys of Enoch, a book called The Keys of Enoch. It's a white cover, and it was written by Dr. James Hertak in 1973. And as of 20 years ago, about 93% of the things he predicted in that book came true. But in key 317, it talks about axiatonal integration, I call it axiatonal integration, but he talks about the axiatonal grid. And so that's another thing I've talked about and lectured about in a number of different countries.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do a bunch of shows with you next week, in case I forget to mention at the end of the show. I'm going to have Andras back on talking about crystals, which is a huge subject. And I don't know what direction we're going to take on that yet, but any questions that you have about crystals, you know, start thinking them up this week so that you can ask him next week, because he's got some really cool crystals, including the ones that go up through the 44th chakra. And so this is going to be really, really neat. And I think, Andras, I'd like to have you talk more about the dowsing, you know, and things that you can do with that so that people get a better idea. Because I know a good number of people in the audience do dows because they're healers, you know, and so they're checking the chakras. If you might mention that really briefly about how you check.
Well, I'll mention some uses for dowsing. Okay. Besides getting to know yourself, there's a wealth of information coming from the subconscious because it is in touch with everybody else's subconscious all over the planet. And therefore, if you have a problem with your car that you've never, and even if you've never fixed a car before, how can the pendulum give you an answer about something that you've never done before, that you don't know anything about a car? Well, the reason is because the subconscious mind is in touch with every other subconscious, and it can check with the subconscious of people who are very good mechanics. And it can give you the answer of what that funny sound is in the motor or what is wrong with the car. And at least you'll be a little more intelligent when you go and have your car repaired.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I need to get that book, by the way. You know,
it's very difficult to be a healer, and unless you are naturally sensitive, and many healers are. I'm pretty sensitive, but I still use the pendulum when I work on somebody because I want quick answers. I don't have a lot of time to sense inside, and my answers don't come quickly enough. Some people may, but I need a pendulum. I do it. I can very rapidly find out what's going on with somebody, either psychologically, physically, or any other way. And I do past life regressions. For example, if somebody's having a chronic problem that has to do with something that I feel or I sense has been happening through several lifetimes, and usually I'm right, I check with a pendulum, and sure enough, they're afraid of fire, and they died in fire in the last, out of the last 15 lifetimes, they died 3 times in a fire. So, of course, that person in this lifetime would be very upset about fire, or snakes, or the dark, or any number of other things. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things we can do. With a pendulum, I keep a pendulum by the bed because I can check my dreams. If I forget my dream or I don't know what it's about, it is your subconscious that is dreaming. So it is the one you need to talk to if you want to know what was that dream about. I keep a pendulum in the kitchen because I want to know if I've added too much salt or if I've when I'm cooking something or is I take out something from the refrigerator and it's been there a few days and I need to check, is this still good to eat? Or even better, it may still be good to eat if I were starving. But then I ask, is it in my best interest to eat this? And it'll say no. It's still edible if you were starving, but you're not starving, so don't eat this because it's really on the borderline. You can ask questions about where to go. Let's say you're driving from Phoenix to Albuquerque. And you want to know what is the best route. There are several roads you could take. What is the route that has the least radar traps, the least construction, the least problems? And most of all, one route may have an accident waiting just for you. And if you ask the pendulum, it'll tell you to take this other road. So you avoid those problems. There are so many uses for a pendulum. That's a whole separate book just on all the uses of a pendulum.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. We have a couple questions here, too. Noella wants to know if this is like a Ouija board.
I don't recommend the Ouija board. No, the Ouija board is very different. The Ouija board seems to attract very low-level spirits in the lower etheric, and those spirits are generally lost or somehow psychotic, neurotic, or any number of things. Just because you don't have a body doesn't mean you can't be schizophrenic or psychotic. So there's a lot of crazy people that come through the Ouija board. I don't recommend the Ouija board. I would stay very far away from it. And next week we will also talk about, on the same subject, about how to protect yourself and ask that everything, you ask God basically that everything that you douse be in the highest interest of all concerned. That's very important for your own safety and the safety of everybody around you. I ask that this work that I do now, this dowsing, be in the highest interest of all concerned. And those are the kinds of prayers and preparations that you make before you begin to douse.
Yeah, it's very important to keep it clear. I had a teacher years ago here in Sedona that taught me how important it was to clear the space, because it's very easy for something else to come through and give you some false information if you're not cognizant of that. You don't keep your channel clear. Just like anything else, you know, there's plenty of channelers here in town that are complete idiots, and the reason they are is because they think they don't have to clear themselves. And so they, they seem real impressive at first, and then they fall to the wayside and they start, you know, spouting all kinds of lies because they've gotten caught by some mischievous or malevolent entity because they haven't cleared constantly. And so that's something that I've seen happen, you know, through the years. And whenever I use a pendulum, I always do the prayer first, you know, that it is in the best and highest good for everybody, and that it is a clear and true answer that I'm getting.
Very important. Very, very important, Valerie. It's very important. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, info@pendulumworks.com. Info@pendulumworks.com.
Awesome. We have one more question. Can you speak to using a cat's eye pendulum? Not a real cat's eye. The stone.
I understand.
I think.
You know, we talked about pendulum. We have different pendulums for different sensitivities. Now I will say the opposite of that. The cat's eye is wonderful. Cat's eye is a yellowish stone, and it works with the third chakra, which is your willpower. And so it's good for that. But I will say the contrary of what I said before. Ultimately, what I teach is that it doesn't matter what kind of pendulum you have, because you are the pendulum. So
right.
I said that quartz is more sensitive than a metal or a wooden pendulum. That's true. This is absolutely true. But ultimately, it doesn't matter, because you are. It's your sensitivity that's involved. And if I pick up a glass pendulum and I have something very important to do, it'll work just as fine as a quartz will work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the cat's eye is, you know, the inner child wants beauty. It likes to play. And that's why we have all these pendulums. That's why somebody will pay $300 for a pendulum, because they use it every day. And they want something beautiful. And some people can only afford $50. Most of the stuff on the internet is garbage. It's purchased for $1.25, and they resell it for $15. And it's mostly garbage. It's not really good. They're not balanced. And the ones, a lot of them are just copies of what I've been doing for 30 years. Almost all of them are copies.
Yeah, and the difference is, you know, if they're getting them done cheaply someplace, then, they're not being put together with the sensitivity that you use when you put them together.
No, we put them together with we're very conscious of what stones are working with each other in the handle and in the bob of the pendulum. And these people that are making them in, my suppliers, the people that used to supply me in Brazil and India and China and so on and other places, they are now supplying the whole world. But they don't know what pendulums are for. They don't know how they're used. They don't know what, they just put something together. And, for example, a lot of them use aluminum chain. You never use aluminum in dowsing. You never use aluminum. You never use lead. You never use cinnabar, you know. They don't know that. They don't know anything about dowsing, but they're making millions of pendulums, and they're garbage. They're not good for anything.
Yeah, and then I think people get discouraged, and they might be getting some wrong answers too, because whenever
exactly.
when you're dealing with the subconscious, it wants to help you, and so if you just give it the right parameters, it will help you, and it'll give you true information. But it can get mucked up. You know, it's kind of like through a glass darkly, you know. If you don't clean the windshield, you know, pretty soon you can't see out of it. And so it's kind of that way, you know, between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And so if you do things to clear, and if you do things that delight the inner child, and if you do things that are in your best interest, then you're going to get better results than people that, you know, don't know to do those things and they let themselves get polluted, basically.
That's a very, very important comment. Very important.
Thank you. I always wanted to feel important.
You are important. You're very important.
Oh, okay. Hey, now see how I did that? Now, my inner child used to do that all. My little child used to do that kind of stuff all the time, joking. But really, it is the truth. Don't we all want to feel important? And don't we all want to feel appreciated? And by the way, let's let little Andy know that I really appreciate that he let the older Andy come out and explain these things to us, because that allowed our little inner children to have some play space and to kind of get their voices and their wishes heard. So thank you.
Andy is smiling from ear to ear, and you're very welcome.
Hasn't this been fun? And oh gosh, I just
thank you for the opportunity, Valerie. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Andrash. And we will do many more. You're just a wealth of information. And you know, listeners, if you want to get a hold of Andrash, go ahead and give your contact information again, please, my friend.
Yeah, info@pendulumworks.com. And Pendulum Works is spelled PendulumWorks, one word, pendulumworks.com, info@pendulumworks.com. And that's how you can get in touch with me. You can ask questions, and anybody who's a listener on this show will get special attention.
Great, thank you. And does that mean that that you're going to stand and salute them when they email you or call you?
I will give them a 10% discount off any pendulum. If they tell me they heard us on the show, they will get a 10% discount.
Cool. Thank you so much. Okay, listeners, I think that you've got some better ideas now about how to use the pendulum. And like I said, go to pendulumworks.com and check out some of these pendulums. They are really beautiful. And I got to tell you, when I walk into Andrasha's showroom, I immediately get sunburned, you know, because of the crystals and all the things in there. It's quite something. So he's got some really amazing stuff. So next week we're going to talk about crystals and some interesting things there and different types of things that are available now that have not been on the noticed on the planet before. And until then, I'd like to remind you that our sponsor is Hydromay Skin Nutrition. Brings you this wonderful show that we get to have so much fun on. And so I would really appreciate it if you would let them know that you appreciate them too. Check out their products. Go to hydramay.com, hydramay.com. All organic, natural skincare. And it's really nutrition that you spread on your skin. So, and it works. It's really neat stuff. So please do check that out. And as always, until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Good night.
Children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. And awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream. Awaken, awaken, awaken the dream.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-